inside hellers galore. The sound that never ends. The ships all around me. I just passed through the door. She smiles at me as we gently ascend. As the heaven beckons onwards, love's message is sent. 7 hours of freedom, sounds and colors do blend. Hera, she waits for me, a planet, and yet a simple voyage to a Pleiadian. Hera is just over the horizon. Yes, the green one at the end. Her golden hair, moonbeams fair. Could this really be real? Sibyasi. Mars is in love. I remember now. She's taking me there.
Welcome to Hour 2 of Dr. Fred Bell's Science, Health, and Energy Show. Well, I hope you enjoyed last week's presentation of an organized disaster, and hopefully this week it won't be quite as bad or painful as it was last week. I didn't get any questions or anything from the email, so I'm assuming that nobody had any questions, but that's okay. However, Ariel, my manager, did arrange something. She said somebody probably within the group wanted to know something about radiation and trace minerals, but I don't know if that came from within our own circle or from out there. If you decide you're in desperation and you need to reach somebody like myself, you can easily reach me at fredbell@pyradyne, that's spelled pyradyne.com, or you can go on the Google search engine and just type in Dr. Fred Bell, and the first site coming up will, of course, be the Pyradyne site. Anyway, last week we were talking about Sannyasi and what was going on with her towards the end, I guess. Well, I had quite a number of ears. Mostly, I guess, last week talked about the element of communication, the telepathic links that we had. But what I'd like to discuss now is a little bit about how some of the science came through. If you want to learn more about this, you want to read the book Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light. It has a lot of this stuff in it. But the first thing that they actually brought to me was, Sannyasi had told me back in the early 70s that the world would go through all these changes, including the constitutional loss of freedoms that we're experiencing through the Homeland Security Act that's going on now. And several other different little things are being pushed through on weekends, as you probably know about, but don't care about, because nobody seems to do anything about. Anyway, she had said that by the year 2000, things are going to be pretty upside down. And even our own government in the Global 2000 report had said that, too. And it's amazing how unconscious and asleep everybody has actually become at this point. And I mean literally asleep. People are not paying attention to what's going on out there anymore. The first things they began to give me were technologies. The first thing that we really got into with Sannyasi was the pyramid technology. And, of course, everybody knows, I'm sure by now, I wore a pyramid on my head for 8 years to prove a couple points. Number one, that it didn't dehydrate the brain, like Christopher Hills tried to say, because he got confused by the materials in the pyramid having a negative and positive effects on the body, which they do. And all kinds of things like that. The first product that we really got into from her was called the Pyridome. It's what started Pyridyne, if you remember last hour. We discussed, I had started a company called Pyridyne. Well, it started back about 1974. I was over at a company called Pyramid Power 5, helping them get organized into department stores. They had at that time a science kit that was being manufactured. And the science kit was simply a little wooden pyramid and a compass. And you just put this little pyramid together with a compass, and it had some brine shrimp eggs and two little plastic solutions and a little book they wrote, little water solutions. And what happens is when you put this little science kit together and assemble this little wooden pyramid and orient it towards the north with your compass, you had yourself a little life force generator. And what you would do is you would take the brine shrimp eggs and place them in two small containers. And you would fill them up two-thirds with water. You would place one under the pyramid and the other one about 20 or 30 feet away. And what would happen is after about, 6 to 8 weeks, you'd have some very healthy little shrimp growing in the pyramid, and you'd have some very dead shrimp floating on the ones, the control group, about 20, 30 feet away. And what was being demonstrated here is the effects of ELF, which we'll get into later. Obviously, there's so many things to talk about, but we won't be doing that right now. Extremely low frequency. Just for example, when we put one of our Pyridyne products on your refrigerator called a Star Orb, which we'll get into later also, and I'd like to get into later stuff, which this is not the show, but you put the Star Orb, you connect it to your refrigerator, and the food doesn't go bad anymore because of ELF, especially fresh fruit. Being a vegetarian, I'm sure a lot of you out there are, you know, get tired of your tomatoes and your lettuce and everything going bad after a week or so. You put it inside the pyramid, it'll turn into, you'll get watery after a while, but it never, hardly ever spoils with a Star Orb connected to it, which is pyramid technology, which we're talking about now. So getting back to this little experiment that we did, we chose brine shrimp, or a Pyramid Power 5, which was, I forget Bill's last name, but it was Bill Cox and Kathy Goggin. That's who they were in those days. Anyway, they chose the brine shrimp because it's very close to the single cells of the human body. In other words, shrimps are very much like a single cell in the body. So this is the way the laboratory experiments went. And so I started looking at what they were doing over there, and they were located in Santa Monica, and I said to myself, you know, this compass has got to go. Why, first of all, why a pyramid shape? And what's the deal with this compass? You know, why do we need that? That's ridiculous. Pyramids shouldn't have to be aligned to the north. That's old pyramid tech. Let's do pyramid tech too. Yay. So what we did is I went ahead and I began to do studies on the pyramid shape, and I found it, be the same shape as gold. You know, strangely enough, gold has an energy to it, pretty much as the shape of dynasties and the currencies and the families and the wars, along with sex and women and rock and roll, for I don't know how long, for many, many, many millennium, actually. So gold has an attractive power. It has a healing power but it also, you know, manifests greed when it mixes up with the human will, which is a level of consciousness, obviously. And so what happens is, when you start getting around gold, your energy gets a little high, and if you're not balanced spiritually, you get a little crazy. A little insanity comes with the high. So anyway, what happened after that was we realized that, at least I realized, that the pyramid needed to be looked into as a shape. And what I learned from the Pleiadians earlier, from Sannyasi, was that the way, anytime you take any element, and you form it into any kind of a shape, it interrupts space and time, and it causes, and it has its own, elements have their own energy fields. Obviously, if an element is made up of atomic atoms and protein and molecules, and, you know, if it's a living protein, of course it's a living, you know, living cell. Hard things like iron and steel, which are not exactly alive as we know it, they are alive in the universal way, but not in the way we know, more in the mineral kingdom consciousness. All these things interrupt space and time and do have a conscious of themselves in some way, manner, shape, or form. Even minerals grow underground. So we looked at this and I decided that I wonder if I could take a pyramid, and I also found, by the way, the pyramid shape was also in the red blood cell in the body too. And the red blood cell, of course, is made up of hemoglobin. And hemoglobin is 4 iron atoms as a nucleus. And the 4 iron atoms have 2 alpha and 2 beta chains. And what they do is they carry oxygen into the body, and they pick up carbon dioxide and bring it out. So they're very important. And if you interrupt the shape of the, or the, disturb the integrity of the iron atom, you have a very poor exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide in the body, which is, excuse me, once again is another show. So anyway, I decided to go a step further and make the pyramids out of a metal and coat them with gold. I thought that was kind of a good idea, because gold, being a pyramid-shaped molecule, would allow the pyramid, regardless of what position it was in, to somewhat be aligned to magnetic north, and therefore the electromagnetic part of it would work better. Although the electromagnetic part of the pyramid going to the north really doesn't matter, it has to do with the auric fields of the earth and the alignment across the shape that really makes a difference, and not the magnetic field. Science hasn't gotten that far yet. So anyway, we went ahead and we took this pyramid, we plated it gold with 18, or actually it's 24 karat gold plate, And then we tried it on the science kit and we found out, whoa, what have we got here? We have a pyramid that is, regardless of what position it's facing, still has the effect of the preserving of the brine shrimp, or actually allowing it to grow undisturbed by EMF, electromagnetic forces. And that, not only does it do that, it works better. The shrimp get bigger and faster, and so it's more along the lines of what metabolism wants in the first place. So we put a few of these puppies together. I made about 10 of these little gold-plated pyramids. Well, I had a friend down in Newport Beach who was a chiropractor. His name was Dr. Gary Couture. And he was teaching me, that was before I got my degree in holistic medicine and homeopathy, which is a European degree. I was still a student and studying all this stuff. And so Dr. Gary had me come down to his clinic, and he tried out one of my pyramids. He took it down there for 2 or 3 weeks, and he says, come down, I want to show you something. And I says, okay, what do you want to show me? So I went down to the clinic, and he showed me, he introduced me to his buddy, John Thee, who was teaching over at the University of Pasadena's thing called Advanced Applied Kinesiology. And I thought, well, this is interesting. What is that? What they call muscle testing. And the way it worked is you would find an arm or a leg on somebody, and you would have them try to keep it unmovable or stiff in some position that you would choose, and you would introduce some kind of a poison or object to the body, and if that didn't agree with the harmonic overtones of the aura, that organ or that leg, that limb could not be suspended in the position that you had then, it would collapse. So if I was pushing down on your arm and I put the wrong thing in your body, you could not resist my force anymore and the arm would collapse. Kinesiology. So he laid people down, he laid some people down on the table, on his chiropractic table, on their backs. He had them put their hands and their legs up in the air. Or I should say, and or. And he says, John Thee and a few people have discovered that there are certain points on the body when touched by the human hand of another person and a vitamin is held by that other person. If they're weak in that area, they'll test strong. Because, for example, there's one area on the stomach you can touch while holding a B complex. And if you push the person who would be now extending their arm straight above them, laying flat on their back, you push their arm down towards their feet and they would have no resistance while you're touching this part of their body while holding a vitamin type. That means they're weak in that type of vitamin. And so Gary just demonstrated that many places in the body are weak with many patients. And he said, watch this. And so after showing where a person is weak in vitamin C and B complex and trace minerals and all the different things that he and other chiropractors were looking for, he proceeded to now take the vitamins out of his hand and hold the pyramid in his hand and do the same test. So he took a subject that was weak in vitamin B and whose arm would collapse as soon as he put the pyramid in his hand and then touched that person with his other hand, and where the vitamin B was, and pushed down on them, they were tested strong. So in other words, any place on the body that a person was tested for a nutritional deficiency while in the presence of one of these gold-plated pyramids, the deficiency wasn't there anymore. So from this, we were able to deduce that the pyramid had in it a life force that was comparable to any vitamin on this planet, and therefore was a very good energizing source. And that was what I call going to step one with the pyridome, as it was in those days. Next thing that Gary showed me, he says, Fred, we want to look at this now. Here we have a problem on this planet. I says, what's that? He says, well, he says, women, and this was back in the mid-80s now, he says, women here are all in my clinic taking lots of Valiums. It turns out, after I did a little research on it, that even though the 80s was the rise, the meteoric rise of cocaine addiction, and crack smoking is the beginning of that on the ground. No, actually, crack smoking came in the 80s, and we're in the mid-70s here. But cocaine addiction was rising at that time, but the big king of it all was Valium. And it was the American housewife was found to be the greatest drug addict strung out on Valium. And so we did some other studies on my own to find out why they like Valium. And what I found out was that their husbands typically were driving to work on freeways all around the area down here in Southern California and other cities. And they, of course, when you sit on a freeway, you are breathing carbon monoxide. And when you drive on a freeway, breathing carbon monoxide for more than 8 minutes, you have a symptom of carbon monoxide poisoning. And so if you're on the freeway for about 8 hours, for about an hour or so going to work, you're loaded up with carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide. So you get to work, the husbands would get to work, and of course, you know, they don't function too well because they have to detox. And most people, of course, now have a cup of coffee, which even amplifies the problem. It doesn't subtract, rather than a glass of water and half an hour meditation. And that's not what happens. It's a cup of coffee and then the force of the work environment. Of course, everybody works really hard, right? Not because they can't focus. They can't concentrate. Usually around noon, enough of the poison is worn off so that you can now function as a normal person. And so what happens is it's lunchtime. So what happens is the person now goes to lunch. Now he drives again for 10 or 15 minutes. More carbon monoxide poisoning. Comes back from lunch an hour later and starts to detox again. Well, maybe by 2 or 3 in the afternoon, a person has got enough of the carbon monoxide out of their system because they didn't get such a big gassing at lunchtime, and maybe they didn't even go away for lunch, but they start to function. So you get 2 hours of output out of that person, and they get back on the freeway to come home. And so as they're on their way, now strangely enough, you get 2 hours of output at real high wages, and you look at the people over in China right now that are getting 50 cents an hour, probably not driving to work, probably just living in it, and whose economy is going to win out? I don't think it'll be ours. It'll be theirs because they're getting paid nothing, their products cost nothing, and their quality is pretty good because they're not getting carbon monoxide out. A lot of these other countries realize this and do ionization and do other kinds of things to control air pollution, which we don't do here. The Bush principle over here is gas them good. So anyway, the husband is now on his way home at 4:30 or 5. He's getting gassed again. He's not really recovered from the morning. So by the time he gets into the front door, you know, after having pulled in front of several other people, maybe been shot at a couple times by people on the freeway, because now after 7 years it creates a road rage, so people start, you know, packing, you know, weapons, packing heat, as they say out here in California. And so he comes in the door, and he's got a real attitude going. Well, the poor wife, she knows this routine, so she's all, pushed up on Valium pretty good so she can handle it. So he comes in and gives her a piece of his mind because they know what else to do. The kids, of course, are out hiding in the backyard. Maybe they're getting loaded or drunk or something so they can keep away from their dad, who might mellow out by 7 or 8 that night. So with this scenario, we had a lot of Valium addicts in this country, American housewife. So what we found out was that when they placed the pyridome on their head, it put them in the alpha state and caused a relaxing sensation. The alpha state is a state where the electrical fields in the body are slowed down from running at about 18 cycles per second to something less than that. Therefore, all of the aching arms and the aching legs and cramps and all the things that go on in the body when it's running in the higher state, higher than the beta state, for example, which is the highest nerve wrecking state. It's beta, alpha, beta, delta, theta are the four states in that proper order. And you can see that in my book. I wrote about that. But anyway, they're starting to relax now when we put the pyramids on their head. And we were able to remove the Valium gradually from their diets and put the pyramid on gradually. And that started Paradigm, believe it or not. We did very well for about a couple of years before we added other products, with just one product, the Paradigm, because it allowed you to relax, and it also was a substitute for the nutritional deficiencies, but it wasn't, still you need to have the vitamins put back in your body. You don't want to cover up the lack of vitamins or nutritional energies, because each one of the different vitamins are categorized into one of seven vibratory colors, and each one of those seven vibratory colors has a vibratory note and a vibratory consciousness. And when we get into consciousness, I often ask people how to describe it, and of course nobody can. They all know that there's seven levels of consciousness and there's seven endocrine glands in the body, but nobody can explain to me what consciousness is. So then I have to try to explain to them my interpretation of consciousness. And the only thing that I can do is go by, I'm from Missouri, I actually lived there for a while, show me. And consciousness to me is what you feel. Consciousness is a feeling, and I always say to people, what is better than a good feeling? For example, when you wake up in the morning, where were you? Well, you were on the seventh level of consciousness, or the sixth level of consciousness was the astral plane. You were there somewhere, which is kind of violet. Actually, the seventh is the astral. So you wake up in the morning, you've been up on the first level of consciousness. You come to that, your willpower. You wake up, and it's now time to get out of bed. It's time to go to work or go do something, you know, feed the kids or go for a walk on the beach or maybe just sit around and read all day. Whatever you're going to do, you're going to have some motivation. And that's a feeling. I want to get up. I want to achieve something. If you're on the what I call the higher path, you have an aspiring thing to do that day. If you're on what I call the lower path, then you have a desirous thing to do. You have to desire. You have to fulfill a need rather than a commitment. An aspiring thing would be more like service to mankind, fulfilling something that's someone else's needs versus your own. Of course, we got to take care of ourselves first, but when we take care of others, what we'll find is our own needs become less and our satisfaction and fulfillment becomes more, so we become more aspiring. That color is red. It's the first ray. It works through the pineal gland in the body. It's an action of the pineal gland. It's a reduction of a hormone called serotonin. And hormones, as you'll find out later on as we get further into this, is the first unit of biochemistry that possesses consciousness. Meaning if the hormone doesn't go up to your brain on a mechanical center, level, and start switching synapses, the feeling is not going to be transmuted from the consciousness into the body. So you really won't feel it. You actually feel a feeling when the body receives it and feels it. You won't feel it through the mind. You'll only feel it through the body. That's why it's important to take care of your body, so that you'll have lots of feelings. People that blow themselves out with alcohol and drugs and kill nerves after a while kill the ability to feel their body, so when their body tries to tell them something, they don't get the message, other than they're paranoid or they're closed in or claustrophobic, so they usually turn to substance, and this develops a habit for comfort. And, of course, the substance only aggravates the problem and covers it up. And, of course, the American Medical Association is making big money in the psychiatric field today, by covering up with their drugs and their crazy pathways. It's a whole science of how a drug can interfere with a pathway of feelings. And so that science, of course, can be read in the drug registers. You can get one of those in PDA drug register and learn a lot of how the American psychiatry is covering up and destroying people. So it's done legally, it's done illegally, it's done every which way. That's the trend of the day. So anyway, that's the willpower. The will is red, equal note A. So now we get out of bed. That's a feeling. If the next thing that happens, let's say we have kids, and we're looking at one of our kids comes running in to say, hi, mommy, hi, daddy, or hi, somebody, and the child comes to you, it stumbles on something and falls down the floor. Well, that's not too cool, but it happened. And so you feel for the child. You feel compassion. You feel like, that poor thing, I wish it hadn't fallen down. I wish I could have fallen down, but the child fell, and I know how it feels. That's compassion. That's another feeling. That's the solar plexus feeling. It comes from the solar plexus. It's not the feeling that got you woke up from your dream state. It's the feeling now that got you, that was given or demonstrated by another person in jeopardy or pain. And then, of course, the actual attraction of that child or your loved one coming to you is another feeling. The love and attraction is. It's the heart, the thalamus gland. And so that's another level of consciousness. So we've talked three levels of consciousness here, each represented by a different color and obviously a different foods type thing in the body. And if your nutrition, in vitamin A, for example, would be the willpower vitamin, which also, by the way, affects your vision. The solar plexus, which we talked about in compassion, would be a B complex, which is the nervous system of the body. And then the heart would be blue, which would be the second ray aspect of the body, which would be another type of vitamin. If you look at the chart on page 196 of the Rays of Truth Crystals of Light, it's called the Seven Rays and Correspondences. You'll see the different qualities, colors, and signs that go with the energy fields. And, of course, we didn't mention the vitamin yet for heart, but it is an oil, actually. It's the oils. And strangely enough, if you have a oil management problem in your body, like lack of vitamin E or borage or primrose soil, you'll have placking, and what do you have is a heart attack. So you can count on these things that I'm explaining to you to probably work for you. They work for me. And each feeling in the body is different. Sexual energy is a feeling. It involves hormones. It involves a lot of things. We'll get into that in later shows and how to make your sex drive better and how your creativity comes from it as a result. But right now we're just talking about the proprietor of the show, Dr. Fred Bell, and how he got into all this stuff. So anyway, I recommend when you wear the pyramid or wear the pyramid that you make sure that you have a full nutritional value, because the pyramid is only just a part of the body. The body in our science, Pleiadian science, we divide the body up a little different than orthodox science. First of all, we look at the body as biochemistry. The world of biochemistry meaning all the chemical things and the vitamins and the minerals and the proteins and the amino acids and all the things that are in the body, the flesh, the liver, the organs, everything. That's biochemistry. Then we step back. What makes biochemistry function? It doesn't function on its own. It needs electricity. So we look at electricity as a functional product of the body. If the electricity is not there and produced by electrolysis by different chemical reactions, for example, sodium and potassium and phosphorus in your nervous system produce electricity. Potai, ginseng, and gota kola produce electricity in the brain. And this is what somebody asked a question out there. Well, what about this Potai, ginseng, and gota kola? Well, this is very necessary to take this every day. I developed a product years ago called Pyraloe, P-Y-R-A-L-O-E, that has this in it along with trace minerals. And as long as you take that, you're not going to have a problem with radiation as long as you monitor yourself. Get a pocket monitor, something like we have those too if you want them. Check our website. But you need to know what the radiation content of your local environment is, and you're going to be very surprised. One of our more sensitive Geiger counters that we sell will actually measure the radiation on bananas. Bananas have a lot of potassium in them. Potassium is a beta emitter, so it's actually radioactive. And there are certain types of fruits out there that are a little bit more radioactive than you really want to eat because of where they're growing. So that's why we notice when we do testing with our, it's one of the units called the Inspector that we use. It's an ionizing tube inside of it, which is very sensitive to radiation, and we inspect different food substances all the time. We find that organic foods usually have the lowest radioactive content to them. And Potai, ginseng, and gota kola are very, very important in the body on a daily basis, and that's one of our most popular products. And we've been selling it, 15 years. It's a staple. It kind of has a great taste to it, too. And what happens is, if you are weak in the body, what happens is when you're exposed to radiation, it produces what's called free radicals. Free radicals kind of work like ozone in the fact it's O3, and they'll combine with anything. So you'll have electrons combining with any kind of a particle. So in the body, what that breaks down to is that your body will start producing tumors or fat deposits anywhere that it feels like it, rather than where they're supposed to be. For example, liver cells, if the body is functioning properly, will make liver cells. Heart cells will make heart cells. But if you put radiation in the body doesn't know what to do, and it just starts making cells everywhere. And if that gets too out of control, it usually gets sensitive to the pH of the body goes off. It goes acid, and then what happens is the more acid you get, the more out of control your body gets. Pretty soon you're very sensitive to carcinogenic things, cancer. And then, of course, you'll end up getting it at some point. Cancer will spread just like the flu, but on a very subtle level, because it is a virus. It does move in that circle. It is interferes with the estrogen and testosterone production in the body. There's plenty of it. There's plenty of radiation out there just to make you more sensitive. Catching cancer is very comparable with catching a cold. If you run yourself down, you don't sleep, you don't eat properly, even though you might be normally a very health-conscious person and never get sick, you run your body down, the first virus that comes by, hello, you're going to catch it. Same thing with cancer. If you do the things to your body that make it subject to cancer, you'll catch it. I don't care if you're immune or not immune to it. So it's a very, very easy disease to circumvent and avoid, much easier to avoid than a common cold, much easier. But if you don't take care of yourself, you'll have it. It's yours for the taking. So anyway, getting back to the levels of the body. We have biochemistry, which we just took a big hit on. We've got electricity. If you keep the electricity up in your body, the auric frequencies of your body are up, and therefore you will, your aura, which is produced by the electrolytes fissioning in the brain or metabolizing themselves in the brain, producing electrical fields, then what happens is this electrical process is distributed down through the 72,000 wires in your body called nadis. And when this happens, when you distribute this through your body, you have an electrical field called an auric field. Now, if your aura field is strong, what happens is you're around other aura fields from other human beings. You won't be bent by them or susceptible to them or brought into their energy fields. But if your aura is weak, you're going to be influenced by everybody. And that includes outside ionic radiation fields or emission fields, and these are called radioactivity. So when you put photi, ginseng, and glutacol in your body, it increases your electrolytes, which produces your large amounts of your personal electricity in your body, and it makes your immunity to cancer go much higher. So beyond the electrical fields in the body, we go then to what makes electricity. In other words, we know about biochemistry. Now we know that's an arrangement of protons, electrons, and molecules, some kind of an intelligence. And that, where does that intelligence come from? Well, that comes from where we're at now. It doesn't come from the electricity. Electricity is just a manifesting force to push these atoms and molecules and electrons around to make them shape into things, whatever the genetic codes and DNA codes are. So we come to the next more subtle thing that the Pleiadians have taught us a lot. It's called electrical precursing energy, EPCs. This form of energy is an etheric energy. It's very real, and it works on the fact of energy follows thought. And that's a big one, because when we talk about energy following thought, we also have to bring up the next axiom to that, and that is the mind is the slayer of the real. For example, if you're in the martial arts like Aikido, which Steven Seagal is a great teacher of since he was 17, I guess he's been teaching that form. I took it myself. Very dangerous form if you don't know what you're doing, because it's a very close combat type of situation. And when you get that close to somebody, if you're thinking about paying a rent or paying a light bill or an argument you had with somebody this morning, in a close confrontation, you're as good as gone. You've got to completely focus on what the situation is in martial arts, or you'll have a problem. And so they begin the initial stages of any of those disciplines. The Eastern teachings is the mind is the slayer of the real. Don't think about anything. Just feel the situation. Feel it at that moment. Deal with it at that moment. And that's pretty much how life is. Be here now. And when you be here now, you can actually sense the energies if you're clear. And you'll have a tendency not to go into addictive habits and addictions if you're staying in the be here now or be here in the moment. So this is about the science of electrical precursation. And what we do is we make up a little chart on that, or we have a little rule with it. We make that a little 24-hour cycle chart. And then that 24-hour cycle chart that we have, we look at what are we doing in 24 hours? How much sleep do we get in our bodies? How much water do we drink? How much meditation? How much exercise do we do? All of these things need to be taken into consideration, and these are put on the good side, the positive side. We call those positive EPCs, non-cancer, non-stress, non-life-threatening, non-life-shortening things. Then we go over to the negative side of the life. What is that? Well, let's see. What could be negative? Going to work and behind another car or a bus, that could be negative. That's a chemical input that's not good, carbon monoxide poisoning. Having an argument with someone could be considered a negative thing. Working in a stressful environment, a job that doesn't really work out for you where you shouldn't be, that's a negative thing. Eating food, junk foods that are full of chemicals and preservatives, that could be a negative thing. Like eating foods from supermarkets in general could be a negative thing. Wearing polyester clothes that kill your immune system, and through snuffing out the largest organ in your body, which is the skin, that could be a negative thing. It just goes on and on and on. And unfortunately, if you weigh the positives versus the negatives, it's pretty easy to end up on the short side or the negative side of life. So, now what does that mean? Electrical precursor, negative side, positive side of life. How does that affect me genetically, and how does that affect me at this very moment? Well, the way it affects most people is that the human body reproduces cells at the rate of 90 million per second. If you're in the positive side of electrical precursoring energy, you're going to reproduce cells at the rate of 90 million per second. But if you're on the other side, the negative curve, you're going to start reproducing cells at something less than 90 million cells per second. In this case, your body, once again, is going to go into a tundra of paranoia, fixation, claustrophobia, shortness of breath, and on, all the things that aren't good. Maybe not to the point where they're outwardly noticeable, but subtly they're quite close to the edge or the surface in most people, I've noticed. So what does that do? Well, what that does, right off the bat, it shortens it, causes what we call a despiraling of DNA. Deoxyribonucleic acid is despiraling, meaning it's shortening your lifespan. Because the energy is wrong, it's not balanced, it doesn't, this then funnels down the electrical. This is the intelligence of electricity itself. Electricity is now getting a very bad signal in the body, and of course, if it's getting a lousy signal, what's it going to do to the biochemistry? It's going to cause you to put, even if you put nice things in your body, you're not going to metabolism properly. It's going to make poisons out of good things. That's the crux of it. And that happens to most people, believe it or not. In a lot of people, I see them say, well, I eat a lot of salads. But if you look at their metabolism, they don't look like they eat a lot of salads. They look pretty sick. Well, they're eating something they can't digest. They'd be better off eating cooked vegetables, cooked fruit, and baked fruit and some soups and things rather than trying to go the raw food route because their body can't metabolize it because they don't have the proper enzymes because these people are maybe are running in high stress and so on and so forth. The EPCs, electrical precursing levels, are bad, and therefore the electricity is bad and the cell structure is bad. So you got to look at a lot of different things. I cover all these subjects, of course, in Rays of Truth because I won't ever get them all on tape. Because the stuff like this changes on a daily basis. But these are the things that you need to know about to deal with any kind of stress situation, any kind of disease situation, or any kind of situation where you want to teach your body to move forward so you can go into the more enlightened mode of life. It's very important to look at all these things in the proper manner. So EPCs are very important. I know Barry Sears in his book talks about eicosanoids, which are precursors to hormones. And by the way, the book is called The Zone and The Zone 2, a very good book. Barry had broken down electrical precursing energy into one stage below that, pre-hormonal conditions. And of course, he was focusing on the hormones and the diet because hormones and diet do have a lot in common. And if the diet is not proper, the hormones are not produced properly. And I have a formula that I make that's a pyridine vitamin formula. It's got about 233 ingredients in it. One of the things I do in my vitamins is I put a lot of amino acids, herbs, vitamins, all combined in synergistic ways. So at certain points, this digests, and a certain little while, it's time released, and this digests over here. And, of course, this is all taken on an empty stomach because when you put nutrition in your body or things like that in your body, in any sort of form of vitamin, if it's good, would be taken on an empty stomach. If it's not good, they're going to tell you on the label to add food to it because it's not complete, it's not whole, and it can't digest itself. It needs the help of something else, probably amino acids. And looking at the amino acids, two very important amino acids that I use on a daily basis are lysine and arginine. They produce a hormone in the body called vasopressin. And vasopressin is very important because when it's secreted into the blood-brain barrier for the synapses in the brain, it produces a feeling called euphoria, or a level of consciousness that would be called euphoria. And without euphoria, your body can't relax. It can't reach the theta state at night when you go to sleep, and it can't reach any decent delta state during the day because you're going to have neck cramps, pain in the back, lower back, all these kinds of things, which are easy to get rid of. But you have to understand why they're there in the first. So anyway, this is just some of the things that we're talking about. Lysine and arginine, I want to finish up on that, though. They are taken out of the body by carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide from automobile exhaust. They're really, it's very antagonistic about going after these two amino acids in the body. It's so world recognized now that they actually make a synthetic, the drug companies, I might say, primarily Sandoz, makes a synthetic version of lysine and arginine that you squirt in your nose to get high and to feel normal, to feel balanced. And it's called Diapid. You can prescribe it and try it, and if you use it, you're going to feel balanced and euphoric. The only problem is the pituitary gland, which manufactures vasopressin, is going to go to sleep on you. It's going to go into what you call atrophy. And if it goes into atrophy, you're going to be dependent on the Diapid because you need it, because your body can't produce lysine and arginine or vasopressin anymore in a natural state. So rather than go the drug route, we chose to put lysine and arginine in large amounts into our products so that it would, you know, constantly remanufacture the vasopressin in the body. And I found that in vitamin formulation, there is no vitamin formulation that is good forever for anyone. Vitamin formulations change depending on the environment and the individual. And what you have to do, what I've learned to do, is to find the toxicity and the hostility of an environment in a particular country or a particular nation or wherever we are, and formulate accordingly to what those people in that area need. For example, in the United States, I never formulate with copper. Copper is just too plentiful in the water. It's too plentiful everywhere in our diets. And if I see a vitamin made by somebody else that has copper in it, I immediately get rid of it and say, that person doesn't know what they're doing. Having worked at the City of Hope in Duarte, California, with children on leukemia, I learned how bad copper really is in our diet. Families that have large amounts of copper in their blood circulation have kids that have a tendency to have leukemia. So, I mean, there are statistics to back up these things that I say. It's not something, and if you want to think about your future generations, don't take vitamins with copper in them. And the list goes on. The list is huge. You wouldn't even want, I need another show for the list. Another hour for that. So just trust in what I do. The other thing is that I use a lot of is antioxidants. Why do I use antioxidants? Because most foods have preservatives. They've been sprayed. They've been irradiated. And so what happens is they come in the body. They want to make free radicals out of your body rather than healthy cells. So the best thing we can do, knowing that most of you don't pay attention to what you're eating, is get rid of the oxidation value of the foods and chemicals that you're putting in your body and try to allow your body half a chance to digest what little nutritional value there is in the things that you put inside your body. So anyway, this is the basic stuff that I started to learn from Sunyasi back in the 70s. This is very basic what I'm telling you now. This is nothing new today. Today we're in a completely different place. But this was going on through the 70s, working with Dr. Gary Couture, launching Pyridine, coming out with one product, Pyridome, and literally making an income from one product alone for many, many, many years because it was so handy to use, and it was one of the least expensive today products on our whole line of things that we make and manufacture, and still a great valuable asset. I remember a big wake-up call in 1978 with the Pyridome. We actually had a second product then called the Radome, too. I got a call from Sky Lewis up in the Orchid Union school system, and it was during, believe it or not, Reagan's administration, who happened to live in, it was in his backyard. And what had happened is we had a small kid up there. His name was Stan Alms, and he had grand mal seizures and as an epileptic child. He was 9 years old. And I had been up there teaching in that school system, not only to the grade schools, but the college, the University of California at Santa Barbara, which is up in that system. I've been introducing the pyramids up there. That's what I was doing in the late 70s. And Sky decided to put these on the kids in the classroom, as did the University of California, Santa Barbara, put them on some of their kids for some studies. And what happened was this kid, since birth, had had grand mal seizures. And when he put the Pyridome on his head, he didn't have them anymore after about a week. And I remember getting a call at 2 o'clock in the morning from the school teacher, who was a very conservative person, never called people at 2 o'clock in the morning. He says, Fred, I couldn't wait any longer. I had to tell you this thing, and we're sending you a notarized statement, which I still have that, by the way, saying this child, the only thing we can determine is that he was taking the normal medication of lithium and other things for grand mal seizures that wasn't working, but as soon as he started wearing a pyramid on his head, he not only became non-dyslexic, but he also no longer had grand mal seizures. And we noticed when he wears the pyramid, he doesn't have them. So we think this is going on here. And so I looked into that and found out, yeah, that's what happened. And what happens is that the pyramid is in electrical precursing form, and so probably it caused a metabolization of the things they were putting in to his body to prevent the grand mal seizures, because the intelligence of the body wasn't there to assimilate, and therefore the seizures went away. We did another study that was real interesting over in Nevada. We found that we knew that the human body requires 5 grams of vitamin C. And what we did is we found that when you take 1 gram of vitamin C in your body, probably 9/10 of that will be excreted in the urine over the next 2 or 3 hours. In other words, the body won't, even though giving a good form of vitamin C, won't retain it very well. So in order to take to retain 5 grams of vitamin C, you probably have to take 100 grams a day. Well, nobody wants to do that. Strangely, guinea pigs and humans, and I think one other species, are the only ones that can't manufacture vitamin C, but the fact is they don't do that, so therefore they require it as an outside source. So anyway, we looked at this, and we did some studies, and we had people wear the pyramid and take vitamin C. This was done at a place over in Nevada Medical Lab. And they found that when you wore a pyramid on your head, your metabolism of vitamin C was 500% greater, meaning that rather than lose 9/10 of the vitamin C, you probably only lost 4/10 of the vitamin C. So therefore, by taking 17 or 18 grams versus 100, you're actually storing 5 grams of vitamin C in the body. And of course, vitamin C produces collagen. It's an antioxidant. It's a very important vitamin in the body. And so the news of wearing a pyramid in the vitamin C production, I thought, was pretty interesting, to say the least. Another little study that came up with the pyridone. Now, this was just very basic stuff that we did years and years and years ago, and I think it's necessary to get this information out, even at this date and time. So then I got a call from a hospital, a government hospital, a veterans hospital in New York City, from a doctor back there, and he had had spinal cord surgery. And it was really interesting that he called me up, and he told me that he had been slowly recovering from this anterior spinal surgery, but he still had partial paralysis in his hands and his arms. And he said that he noticed by wearing the pyridome, which was not an accurate study, but by wearing it on his head, that he noticed the sensation came back to his arms and legs and hands much quicker than he felt that it had in other patients with similar, that he had actually worked with in similar situations. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So we began to get more and more and more information. And each time that I would get this information, I would confront Semyasi with it, and she said, yeah, this is possible, and this is possible, and they never confirm or deny anything, the Pleiadians. They just say, this is the way, you know, it sounds good to us, and of course they know what's going on, but that's just the way they are. They don't, they make you do your homework. They don't, they give you some ideas of possibilities, but they do make you do your homework. Anybody that tells me they had contact with a Pleiadian and they told them exactly how to do something, I'm saying they didn't have any contact at all. That's not how Pleiadians work. They give you a heck of a lot of information, but they don't give you the final answer. They don't believe in karmic feedback, which that will produce. That means suggestions don't work with Pleiadians too much. So Semyasi then began to educate me into the next phase. I had asked her, what about, and I noticed in Japan, people with arthritis, they wear copper bracelets. Well, this is how basic I was in those days. But, you know, what does that do for arthritis? I hear it cures it or gets rid of it. Of course, she was quick to remind me that nothing cures the body or heals the body. The body only heals itself. And that's, of course, been my trademark ever since I was told that. But it's common sense. I mean, I was actually told that by someone. I probably would have got to that deduction eventually. But no, the body doesn't. The body heals itself. Pyramids and bracelets, they help. They get rid of the resistance factors that are necessary for the body, but the body has to do its own healing. But you can speed the body's healing processes up many, many fold. And so she says, yes, copper does have an effect on viruses, on the external, worn externally, not internally. You know about the leukemia. And I says, yeah, I knew about that. I worked at the City of Hope for a while. And she says, you know, well, you know, copper does work, but she said, why don't you try it on the pyramid and see what happens? So I went ahead and copper plated the pyramid, And it became known later on as the Fire Dome. But unfortunately, I knew about Oregon layers. I'd learned that from Aber Reich. Aber Reich was a friend of mine. Or Wilhelm Reich, which you've heard of him. He was a very famous founder of the Oregon theories in the 40s. And Aber lives in upstate Maine as a very prominent medical doctor and followed in her dad's footsteps. And she was quite familiar with my work and used our products. So we knew that by using active and passive metals in the plating processes, which are secret but work in the peridome, it's just not gold plated. There's other things underneath the gold that are we call passive plating or passive minerals to make the gold work organically on the outside. So I went ahead and just put a layer of copper right over the gold. I said, this is a no-brainer. I took it down to Dr. Gary in Newport, who works with John Thee, and they were very good. These guys are so good. They teach kinesiology. They're not... they're astute at it. And Gary says, Fred, this is a great idea. It doesn't work. And I says, what do you mean it doesn't work? He says, whatever you did to this pyramid, you killed it. I said, no, I put copper on it. It should work better. He says, it doesn't work. So I didn't know what to do at that point. So I went home and I made about 100 of them. I thought I was going to have a new product here. So I put them in I had an 8-foot pyramid set up in a guest room here in the house. And those days, pyramid was a house operation, wasn't it? Actually, I hadn't even gotten to the garage yet. And so anyway, we set the pyramid, the copper-plated pyramids, underneath a very large 8-foot pyramid for about 5 or 6 weeks. And then one day I was down there, I just sort of forgot about them in that room because nobody had been using it. So I went in the room, and all the pyramids, I looked at them, they had freckles. They had little spots on them. And I looked carefully at the spot, and what had happened is something had happened in that pyramid which made the gold plating on it, and with the copper over it, of course. The copper now had little tiny holes in it, and the gold was protruded. It looked like little gold freckles all over it. You could see it through the copper. So it had, in certain areas, eaten its way through. I didn't know what it had done. So I says, what the heck? You know, this is different. We got freckle pyramids now. So I took one of them over to Dr. Gary. I says, test this thing. Well, yeah, it's changed somehow. And he looked at it. He says, yeah, it's got freckles. He says, what did you do to it? I says, I don't know what I did to it. Just test it. So he tested it, and he says, Fred, this test's stronger than the pyridome. This is much stronger. What did you do? And I says, I don't know. Well, we figured it out. It was a granule migration by the Oregon process of the big pyramid, the little pyramids, and all the pyramids all together, different metals, blah, blah, blah. So we had now what we call an aging process. We had discovered it, the pyridine aging process, I guess you'd call it. So I went ahead and had about 1,000 of them plated, and I had them stacked at home underneath, waiting 6 weeks to cure, and then we had a new product. And we noticed that, the point that Gary noticed, is that it stimulated the adrenals. So now I went back to sannyasi. I says, okay, I suppose I can answer the copper bracelet in the fact that copper worn on the body sends a vibratory frequency out of EPC, vibration, and that stimulates the adrenals, which then creates cortisone and norepinephrine in the body, which then combats the virus, which therefore reduces the effects of arthritis. She says, you just got an A, and you did it all by yourself. Didn't it feel good? And I says, yes, sannyasi, it took 3 months to do this. And she says, but you got it. And that's what's important. You got it on your own. And she verified that was what had happened. And that's the kind of stuff that this woman did with me, and it was so amazing. So then, of course, we went on, and we had now the Fire Dome. And the neat thing about the Fire Dome was that when you wore it on your head, it would change colors, and it would become the color of your aura. So if you had a violet aura, after a while, this thing would be violet. And if you had a red aura, it would turn red. It's the neatest thing you ever saw. We still make them, and people still wear them, and they still are getting the effect. And so that was the next one. So then I decided, well, I got an idea here. Why don't I go for something else? It looks like the gold pyramid relaxes you. The Fire Dome doesn't relax you as much. It gives you more energy. It's more of an upper. So we have like an upper and a downer in the product line. Why not have a thinker? Because I know that silver is an alchemical metal, and silver worn on the body creates an effect of greater thought and greater concentration, according to the ancients. So I didn't bother running this one by sannyasi because I knew what the answer was going to be. Try it. So we did. We tried every silver metal that every plater had, and we couldn't get any kind of a processing where we could get the migration thing happening at all. And so finally one day we tried rhodium, we tried platinum, we tried everything. So one day I was in at the Quaker City Plating up in up in northern L.A. or western L.A. It was west, yeah, eastern side of L.A. La Habra, I was in La Habra, that's where I was. And the little guy in the back, this little Mexican lad in the back, said to me, "Dr. Bell, why don't you try silver? It's the color you want." And I was silver. I said, "Wait a minute, that's the cheapest metal, blah, blah, blah. It's not exotic, but I'll try it." So we put a little bit of silver on there, and guess what? It worked. We took it back to Dr. Gary after the little hole came through, and Gary says, "Yeah, this works. This has a different energy. I don't know what it is. Let me wear it." So he wore it, and he says, "Yeah, it makes my concentration much better. I'm able to read longer, hold focus better, and all this kind of stuff." And so therefore, we had our radome. And that went on and on. And finally, it got to be a point where one evening I was saying that this curing process is taking too long. And I was holding a radome in my hand at the time, kind of cursing at the fact we can only make so many because we had to wait and set them under the pyramid for this curing process to take place. And I was standing up. I remember I was making myself something to eat up in the kitchen, and I dropped the pyramid, and it fell into the stove. And when it fell into the stove, it went into the flame, and instantly the flame burned through the copper and through the silver, making this rainbow effect. And that's where we discovered our heating process. I said, "Wait a minute, this just now formed a rainbow. Look, that's different metals in there. They're exposed. I wonder if that'll work." So I got a torch and proceeded to go downstairs in the garage with some of that were curing, pulled them out. They weren't ready yet. Heat treated them in different areas, the middle, the center, the edges, and places that we do it now. And then have them over to Gary, Dr. King, test them. He says, "These are better than the other ones." He says, "They work great." So now by accident, we had discovered our heating process, which makes us turn out thousands of these things today as quick as we can plate them and bend them and plate them and get them to you. So this is basically the kind of stuff that we did with Sannyasi, and it was a very interesting beginning to Paradigm. And so we didn't really know what we were doing. Obviously, that's a long time ago. It was 30 years ago this was going on. But this was the very beginning of how the company started. Now we had three products, and we were selling them all over the place. We had doctors that were endorsing our products. We had students. We'd had a kid that come back from having grand mal seizures. We were starting to use them in meditation centers. The Schick Center was using them sometimes for playing around with them for smoking, for stopping of smoking. They never actually officially used them because they sped up the process of going off cigarettes rather quickly. And so therefore they decided that would be an income harming device rather than an aid, because if you get people to stop smoking too quick, then of course you can't charge them very much. So it has pros and cons in that world. So anyway, these are the kinds of things that we got into, and it just got better and better and better as time went on. Sannyasi then began to follow us around the country. We decided, well, we were leaving, so let's go out on the road. And so we bought us a little van, and we started going to health shows and National Health Federation. At this time, I had just joined them. And so we started traveling around the country. And that, of course, was a lot of fun, because as we traveled around the country, we started to get out into remote areas of the desert, and then we could have much better Pleiadian contacts. And that, of course, is by the time at Sannyasi, we were up in New Mexico, up near Roswell, actually, when she came and gave us the design for one of our first system pieces, actually two of them. One of them we began to know as the star orb, the regular orb, and then, of course, the irradiator was also discovered on a trip. So all these things began to come into focus, and, of course, we didn't mind it at all. And each time we went out, I had a driver named Eric that drove the motor home, and we traveled around the country, and I was doing all this communication and meeting all kinds of people and getting all kinds of feedback. And it was really a lot of fun in the very beginning. I guess it still is, but it's a whole different area now from where we were then versus where we are now. Well, that was really quick. Coming towards the end of the show here now. And I hope we're getting through my life a little bit. At least we've gotten up to Sannyasi. Go through that. That's going to take a while, and then we'll get up into the Andromedans, and then we'll go back and talk about the science in depth. We are, believe me, just skimming the surface right now, if even that. I call this surface skimming, talking to you about these things. I'm just not really getting into anything very deep. Like I say, if you want more information, I would definitely be getting that Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light book. And send me the emails at actually it's fredbell@paradigm.com if you have any questions. Because I can't go from show to show without communication until we get this thing set up on the satellites where we can have the shows live and then do the questions over the phone. Then we can, of course, communicate right up front. And I do a lot of air shows. Check our website. We're not posting them yet, but I'm doing two or three air shows a week and around the country. And sometimes when I do a big show, I'll announce it, one of the big air shows. There'll be some of those coming up later on this year. And once again, the website is www.pyradyne.com. And the telephone number, the 800 phone number, is 1-800-729-2603. I also wrote another book called Death of Ignorance, which is a little simpler than Rays of Truth, but most people can figure out Rays of Truth. And the Death of Ignorance, of course, is the first book that I wrote with the Sannyasi's influence back in 1979. So anyway, I hope you had fun, and have a great day, a great evening, depending on what time it is when you hear this, and look forward to talking and listening and sharing with you some more fellowship. Talk to you soon.
You have been linked to a Blog In Broadcasting service, a service to others' endeavor. Thank you very much, and good night.